This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. My Creative Ventures was set up in 2012 with a fund of 200 million ringgit to boost the attractiveness of Malaysia's creative industry and increase gross income from Malaysia's creative industry to significantly contribute to the country's gross domestic product and also to elevate the status of Malaysia's creative industry via public awareness and social impact. Well, you know what? The CEO of My Creative Ventures is in the studio with me. It's been almost 2 years since the setup. Yeah. Johan Ishak is here in the studio, and we're going to try and understand what they actually do. And they've got actually two interesting projects coming up, which you know you may be interested in to tap into some of those funds. Welcome to the show, Johan. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Johan, you want to just go through with us how My Creative Ventures came about and what was the rationale, what was the objective for bringing up the venture? And I understand this is a government organization.
Yeah, sure. Let me start from the macro perspective first, why there is a need to create something like this, My Creative Ventures. If you look at the contribution of industries to the Malaysian economy, creative is very, very small. Yeah? It's 1.3%. However, we've got a lot of potential. So Malaysia cannot survive forever with primary source of economy like you know, oil and gas, palm oil, plantation and electronics and all that. They need a secondary source of what they call income in the industry to help the country to go further. And of course, a bulk and a majority of these driving factors are SMEs, small, medium enterprise. And of course, creative industry has got a lot of these SME companies. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out how to turn around this industry into an economically viable industry, because at the moment it is very difficult for businesses to start in the industry because the banking sector and also the investors fraternity is very shy in you know providing financing or investing in this particular industry. You know, if you go to the banks, they will rate creative industry as high risk and probably not give out any loans. There are some who manage to do it, but I think because it's very linked closely to retailing, for example, fashion, but the rest, you know, generally very difficult. From the investor's perspective, you know, they'd rather invest in oil and gas, fast-moving consumer goods. We're talking about returns of above 20%, the more venture capitalist style, 25-30%. Whereas when they look at creative industry, it's very difficult to pinpoint what is a maintainable earnings. Mm-hmm. So that's why we were created. We were created to bridge that gap or to fill in that void in the ecosystem.
Yes.
So we are in, and we are having a mixed character of a financier, bank, and also a venture capitalist, which is investor. So we've got both characters together, in a way that you know how we structure the financing is either like a loan or revolving credit format or term loan, or we invest in equity, which is preference shares, with a view of exiting after 5 years. So that is the background of why we were created, and we want to fill in the gap, the void that you mentioned earlier.
I hear a complete disconnect, to be fair. Your language and the people who come in at 2 o'clock and talk to us about the creative industry completely speak the different language. It's like the morning show and our show right now.
Yes.
You belong in the morning.
Yeah,
but
so sorry.
but you're trying to bring about the business spin.
Exactly.
To the creative industry. Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not easy, Johan. I mean, creative people are creative people. They're not thinking along the lines of, you know, finances, debits and credits, right? Yeah. So what has been that experience over the last 2 years?
Well, the main issue that we have identified, which is relating to the businesses, the creative businesses, would be their business acumen, you know. A lot of the people from the creative industry, they want to pursue art, you know, for art, instead of art for business, for economy, for wealth, you know. So we do not expect them to have the financial knowledge. We do not expect them to have all this managerial what they call business acumen knowledge. But we do expect them to be resourceful enough to get people to work for them or to partner with the right partners so that they've got a good combination of talent and knowledge to drive it as a business. You know, for example, a theater production company. You've got people with the creative ideas of creating the content and all that for theater production, but you also need somebody who can manage the financial, who can manage the marketing, promotion and all that. So instead of the artists themselves trying to do that, which they are not meant to do anyway, they should be getting partners who knows about that and combine it together and, you know, move forward. Okay. So that is the missing ingredient for almost all of the creative movement.
Let's just take theatre for an example. Yeah. And I'm going to pretend I'm a theatre company. Yeah. I'm going to take your advice and get on the finance person or the person with the knowledge to draw up a plan, business plan, whatever. You know, the other challenge in this country, Johan, is that our awareness for the creative industry, whether it's theatre, whether it's visual arts, whether it's dance, is very, very low. So are you talking about revenue coming from bums on seats, because that's really not enough? How do you, where does this revenue supposed to come, where is it supposed to come from?
Okay, that is a big problem actually.
Yeah, because if you charge 50 ringgit already, some people think it's a lot of money.
Exactly.
So then how do we prove to you that we can indeed make a profit?
Now, as much as the artists or the creative people want to be purists, to preserve their creativity, you also need to think about content that can attract people, i.e. to get the money. Now, there needs to be a balance. I'll give you an example. I mean, you can apply this to theatre, but I'm using a filming example now.
Okay.
You know, we're moving from one element to another. Filming example, and we can apply that to theatre. Yeah. So, for example, for filming, you've got the very artistic type film, script writing, storytelling and all that, which doesn't really attract people to the cinema, but in terms of winning awards at Cannes Film Festival or any other film festival, it's really great. But on the other hand, you've got films which are really easy for people to sit down and laugh, and there's no intellectual elements in it and no artistic value in it, but people go and buy the ticket and watch it. Okay, so like cerita hantu, the ghost stories and gangsters,
which were very good
that.
For.
Yeah, so all that brings in a lot of money, but in terms of the artistic values, it's probably not as much as the other. I should not do it on a names basis. It's no names basis. So what I've experienced, or what I have understood from the people from the industry, you know, broadcasters and all that, is that you need to have a balance. So you've got some of those that brings in money, and with that money you can fuel into the artistic ones and have a balance that is sustainable to go forward. So back to the theater, you must have theater production that is more attractive to people to come and buy the tickets, and you have the money, and then you can do the more artistic one. So you need to balance that. It's not easy to do it. It's easier said than doing it.
It is.
But one good example, I mean, if it's something good, maybe I can mention some names, if that's okay. One good example, something that is, I think comedy. Comedy is a really good example where people wouldn't mind to pay the tickets and watch, you know. All those things that is, all the titles that are done by... the one at Zouk, Comedy Club, Comedy Club, and also by something like Lawak Kedah, things like that. So those are the ones that are attracting the crowd.
But how do we develop? Because I think from, you know, everything, all the interviews we've done and, you know, with various people, I think what's really lacking is the entire ecosystem is not quite in place.
Yep.
It's a very fragmented industry and the ecosystem is really not in place. For an example, you want to build theatre, you want to have really good quality theatre. Let's start with us, the ordinary people. We haven't been exposed in school to much theatre. Hence, how do we appreciate theatre? Two, we don't have enough theatre schools or schools that help, you know, churn out trained people in theatre. So it's a very different, the ecosystem is not quite in place. So what is a way around that? I mean, when before even my creative ventures came about, I mean, you're coming into a space that is all over the place.
Right.
How are you doing it? What have you been doing for 2 years? Hence your challenges.
Maybe this is where I like to caveat a bit of disclaimer going on. You look at the ecosystem as a whole, comprising a lot of things, you know, educating the public, educating the school children about, you know, appreciating art and all that. and marketing it, promoting it, enriching culture, you know, which requires so many years. And that's the component of trying to drive that into a business. So we only come into the component where we're trying to drive it into a business. And the missing element there is the financing to start businesses. Yeah, but I do want to comment about the other areas where, even though it is not financially related. Now, my observation is that the culture itself is not evolved to the right extent yet. You know, we are unwilling to pay the ticket to go and watch theater, you know, but we are willing to pay the ticket to go for concerts, right?
Even so, then, foreign ones.
Yeah, well, not necessarily foreign ones. You know, Datuk Siti Nurhaliza, for example. We are willing to pay to go and see her sing, but not willing to go and watch, you know, some of the theatre productions, the really good ones that we have in Istana Budaya. So that reflects the level of where the society is in terms of appreciating art. So they're easily absorbable in terms of understanding music, but not so much of theatre yet. So I think the culture, the community as a whole needs to grow. And of course, that is not what we're doing. You know, we are looking only in the financial bit.
That's right.
So this is the role of society as a whole to encourage art. And of course, the policies that is in place should also address this, especially education, you know, and also social ecology. For example, when you plan a city, you know, you need to have shopping centers, petrol pumps, schools and all that. You also need to have all these areas where you can have creative elements to be nurtured.
That's right. Yeah. So over the 2 years, how much money from the 200 million ringgit have you given out as loans?
We have committed approximately about 30 million or so. Not all has been given out because it is based on the tranches or milestones of the particular businesses. So 30 million committed across about 18 companies or so. So we've got plenty more left. It is available, don't be scared. So,
There's a lot more available. Which is making me wonder. I mean, everyone's wanting this money. There's something holding them back.
Well, there's few elements. Number one is probably people have not heard about us, but we've been trying really hard to appear on, you know, radio stations, TV, sponsorships of certain events, and also newspapers. Right? The other element is there were a lot of people submitting. I can tell you hundreds, over 100. It's probably close to, you know, 160 or 170 applications since we started business. And it is not easy to pass. You know, out of that, only that 18 that I mentioned earlier got approved for year 2013, totaling close to 30 million, right? Now, the rest didn't pass because they lack that business acumen, because they come in alone as a creative thinker without the people who can help them to drive the business. So for all these people who didn't make it for 2013, we told them, go back, you know, go back to drawing board, look at the concept of your business, not only creative, but get a partner who can work with you to manage marketing, financing, and to drive the business forward, really.
Which segments of the creative industry has received the 30 million?
It's spread across. We've got one client under visual art. It's called Art Cube Gallery. It is in Intermark in KL. So have a visit. Really cool stuff there. Really good Malaysian contemporary art. And then from theatre production, we've got My Performing Arts Agency. We have Actor Studio. Okay. And we've got Masakini. All right. And then from music, we've got a couple of music schools, but I can't mention their names because we haven't signed any agreements yet. It's still in drafted. However, we have Achis and Datuk Sheila Majid, who owns Akakarya Studios, the jamming studio. So that's our client. What else? We've got Datuk Rosham Noh on intellectual property management portfolio company for TV dramas, films and all that. Who else do we have? We've got Dragon Slate, who's doing a joint venture Malaysia and Hollywood to produce world-class movies. Yeah, we've got a video game development, a Curve Studios. We have plenty of fashion designers. The established ones that is going internationally would be Melinda Lui and Kun Hui. But we also have young ones who won Fashion Pitch that we did last year. I'll talk a bit more about Fashion Pitch later. The four that won that pitch was Pearly Wong, Fern, Commodity, and also Whimsical. So they just started business, and hopefully there'll be a well-known name later. So we're very optimistic in terms of their development.
Yep. Is there a limit as to how much each organization can actually apply for?
What we'll do is we'll look at their plan first and see what is the right amount for them. You can't, if you ask too much, what's the point of paying, too high of an interest for too much of a loan, So generally, on average, about 2 million, two million, 3 million. But it depends on the business. Fashion designers, the young ones, the startup ones, they don't really need that much. So probably less than 1 million. There are a few companies which are, borrowing maybe 700,000, 500,000, 300,000. But the other ones can go all the way up to 4 million, 5 million. But so far, our appetite has always been up to 5 million. Anything above that would be a bit too high for us to stomach. Remember, we only have 200 million. Mm-hmm. So if you come to us asking for 20 million, there can only be 10 companies in total, isn't it? So we have to balance between, helping, these companies in terms of quantity as well as the quantum of the monetary value.
Are your interest rates lower than, commercial banks outside?
Right. There's a few ways of looking at this. First of all, can we benchmark to the commercial banks? It's very difficult because the commercial banks generally do not give out loans to creative businesses. Unless they can find a very strong link to retailing. Some of the fashion designers, they may be able to get loans from the commercial banks because once you go retailing, there's business going on there. But by and large, the banks are quite, they're shy in giving out loans because the risk is very high. So it's very difficult for us to benchmark. However, we did have some discussions with the banking sectors in Malaysia. We also spoke to some of the financing sectors in Hollywood, to benchmark internationally. Generally, if they give out loan, it will probably be, in the region of, say, BLR plus 4. So that's what? That's at 11 or 12%, which is very high. So for us, we stick to gravitate towards BLR, not so much of the premium. So it will range between 5 to 7%, basically.
So it's just BLR plus zero?
Yeah, it will be BLR, but we will do our assessment. And if your business is on the higher side of the risk, then we'll go all the way up to 7. If there are mitigating factors that can reduce the risk, then it can go all the way down to, 6 or, 5.7 or within the range. Yeah.
What's the ROI that you're looking out for?
Well, I can't really disclose that. That's our internal
How am I going to write my proposal if I don't know?
Yeah, but me giving you the range of 5 to 7% is good enough of a range to what
I need to know
expect.
I can make this return.
No, ROI from the businesses of the client from us?
Okay. From the client.
Right, okay. Now,
that we need to show.
Exactly. Now, what makes sense in terms of the return of the business so that we look at it and we'll say, okay, this is a good business to go forward and sustain. Now, the important word here is sustainability. Yes. If you're just merely making profit and that's it, and it's like a shooting star after 2-3 years, you're gone, there's no point because our main purpose is to create entrepreneurs. So it needs to be sustainable. Now, translate that into a number, Johan. Okay, I'll translate that into a number. If your business is only making 3%, there's no point. You might as well put your money in fixed deposit. If your business is making 7%, still no point. You might as well put your money in unit trusts. So your business should be making more than that. So if we give you financing and we charge you, and after you paying us the interest, you don't have anything, there's also no point. So in my mind, 10% is the bare minimum of a return that you need to have. And of course, 15% is a lot better. So I'm hoping that these people who come to us, who apply business loans from us, will show the profit margin of 10 to 15%. That is a good indicator.
Is it comfortable? Yeah. Is it realistic for the creative industry?
It is not realistic for the first 2 years, maybe. And we do realize that. And of course, when we look at the applicants, we do consider that the first year or second year may be a loss making. But we look at a 5 years frontier. That's why when you submit to us, you need to have a 5 years financial projection, 5 years business plan. We do look at, you know, after say 1 or 2 years, it turns around, and in year say 3, 4, 5, any one of those years, it starts to hit that figure 10%, then it will look good. So we do look at the frontier of 5 years, but you can start. It starts as a loss. It is a reality,
yes,
basically.
Yes, of course. Yeah. It takes a while to break even. We're discussing giving the creative arts a leg up with Johan Hishak, CEO of My Creative Ventures. If you have a question for him, send it through 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station 9.
Good afternoon. I'm Mira Sevisudi. In the studio with me, Johan Hishak, CEO of My Creative Ventures. We're discussing, you know, funding the arts, which is always an issue at 2 o'clock when we speak to all the creative people. Funding is always a problem. Having said that, this is a little different. This is a loan. It is not a grant like Kakisini and MIPA give out grants, but this is purely a loan. So you need to have a business plan. You need to show that you can make some money at the end of the day. You know, Johan, you went through a couple of segments in which you fund, for segments of the creative industry, visual arts being one, performing arts, music, literature, content creation, cinematic and TV, right? Fashion and design. There's another one we missed out, which is traditional and cultural arts. What is that about?
Well, that is, maybe I explain from an example. One of our clients is in the business of producing orang asli sculptures. From Pulau Keri, fantastic stuff, because all the ship that comes, the Queen E and all that, all the foreigners, they take a trip to go to Pulau Keri and see the orang asli villages, and they buy, you know, each of these statues, you know, cost about, you know, $700. So it is a business in itself. So that's an example of traditional and cultural arts. Others would be, you know, batik, songket and the like. Yeah.
Would you look out for companies giving back to communities, for an example, giving back to the orang asli community?
Yeah. That is a really good combination of economy as well as social, yeah, because it creates business and profit. At the same time, it helps the orang asli. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good factor going on.
So it does have to happen. It helps. Yeah. Right. So you have two interesting initiatives going on. One is, of course, Fashion Pitch, the second version,
yes,
which you had the last time. And there's another one called Writers Unleashed.
Yeah.
You want to go through with me what Fashion Pitch 2 is really all about?
Fashion Pitch 2 is, what we're doing is that we're repeating Fashion Pitch 1 that was done last year. Maybe I explain what happened last year, and then it's a natural extension to Fashion Pitch 2. We open it to public, basically for young entrepreneurs, for fashion industry, fashion designers who wants to start fashion businesses. We open it, and about, you know, 30 over applications came in. And then we shortlisted. We had them coming in to showcase their design on mannequins, on models and whatnot. And we have people from the industry, big names from the industry, to be the judge. People like Datuk Bernard Chandran, Datuk Nancy Yeo, someone from the GM of Farahan Group, the Million Group,
yes,
Fashion Valet, and a few others who became the judges. And then out of that, the top scoring ones, the four top winners actually got business loans from us. Those are the four names I mentioned earlier: Pearly Wong, Fern, Commodity, and Whimsy Girl. So,
ooh, interesting names.
Yeah, Whimsy Girl is for kids. Pearly Wong and Fern. Pearly Wong is for female. Fern is female, but a bit of batik going on there. Actually, there's a lot of batik going on there. What's the other one? Commodity. Commodity is for male, for guys.
Okay. All
right. Now, looking at the success of these four, how they have started their businesses and really good potential to move forward, we decided to do it again, so that we want to create another batch of this, you know, four or five or whatever, you know, new fashion designers. We cannot live forever with the same names. I mean, we are proud of Datuk Jimmy Choo. We are proud of Zhang Toy, right? But we need new names, you know, to follow with the era. Yeah? So we're going to do it again. It's going to be the same format, submit online, and the shortlisted one will be called in to present to a lineup of judges. I cannot tell you the name of the judge.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
And then we'll do the scoring, and we'll select top few that will get a business loan. So that is essentially what Fashion Pitch 2 is. It's basically for young fashion designers who's got the passion and who's got the ability to go forward, combined with a partner who can help the business acumen side, submit a proposal for a fashion business.
And applications close, the deadline is 27th of July?
Yes, 27th of July. I think we announced this, when was it, about a month ago. Mm-hmm. So it gives a period of about 2 months until just before Raya. Just nice for them to come up with something. And after Raya, we'll do the shortlisting.
You know, Johan, I'm just looking at the various segments of the creative industry that you fund. The very straightforward one is actually fashion and design, which you said even some commercial banks probably look at. Mm-hmm. In my mind, the performing arts don't stand a chance in comparison, because it's very hard to measure.
Exactly.
So how do you...
Yeah, the different types of creative businesses have got the different challenges, yeah? Now, what we're doing is actually we are open to any of those elements for people to submit, and then we will assess the business. But from time to time, we'll do a specialized pitch like what we're doing for Fashion Pitch, and also we're doing Writers Unleashed. Writers Unleashed is
a bit, the first time for Writers Unleashed?
This is the
Unleashed?
First time. We're doing it a slightly different approach. Fashion designers, they can become a business, right? But writers are writers. So the business comes from the publication house. So from the writers,
which is still quantifiable.
Yes.
Whereas with the theatre industry,
yeah.
It's not
so I'll get to the theatre for a while. Later bit. So for writers, we want to identify writers and partner them with publication house. Then we'll give the loan to publication house to publish the books and whatnot. Now, so different types of creative businesses have got different challenges. So I talk about fashion. I talk about writers because those are the two pitching that we've done. And you're probably asking me why we haven't done a specialized pitch for theatre and
that's
the others.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we're trying to focus our attention one by one first. We are trying to think about something to do for the theatre production side. What we're thinking is trying to figure out how to collaborate with other agencies, other government departments in terms of identifying the good theatre production companies with the good production titles. And probably we can come in and be financial there. Now, in terms of the business prospect or profit-making prospect, of course, yes, you are right that theatre is one of the toughest one amongst the others. Now, that's why what we do is when we talk to the individual theatre production companies, we study the cost structure with them carefully, all right? And the most important thing that is lacking in all of this theatre movement is the marketing and promotion is generally inadequate. And why it is inadequate, because it costs a lot of
exactly.
money. So
mm-hmm.
when we discuss business financing with these businesses, we make sure that they must have enough budget for marketing and promotion to spread, you know, to the public. You know, it's bad enough that the culture, as I mentioned earlier, is not at the state where people go for theatre. Let alone, you know, not having the right promotion and marketing. So let's do our part, which is marketing and promoting to educate the public, and then the other parts like education and all that one will be a different segment altogether. But we, as the business, as the practitioner of the theatre production, we need to figure out all this. So that's how we have to approach that.
I'm just thinking grants are being given out as well mm-hmm. to the creative industry. Mm. Where do you stand? The loan versus the grant? Okay. I mean, grants, of course, you don't need to pay back.
Yes.
I'd rather go with that, with, you know, that option.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
The difference, first of all, in terms of the amount, grants generally to be low in amount, and then loans can be greater. So with that character, it will match to the different stage of a particular company. When you start the company, you're trying to, you know, kickstart the operations and all that, grants will help a lot because you don't have to worry about paying back. And once the business is up and running, it starts operating and it starts generating income, then you need to grow. So that is when loan will be handy. Then you need to grow, you take the loan, and it will grow. At the same time, you've got enough comfort that you can pay the loan. So generally, grant and loan will come in at a different stage of a company.
The creative industry, Johan, is actually meant, in a way, to challenge the norm, mm-hmm. right? Are there ideas or ventures mm-hmm. that you will not run with simply because it challenges the norm?
Run with means not supporting?
Yes. That you will hold back? And there are many.
Give me an example. It's easier for me to answer.
Let's just say a theatre production that is very open and, you know, it welcomes open dialogue, you know, discussions, which, you know, mainstream media and, you know, people would not usually talk about. And that is the role of the creative industry as well. Now, will you support initiatives like that?
Okay.
Censorship is what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know you're going into that. And of course, us being government agencies, we do have certain things.
Yes, you are, indeed.
This is where you call the grilling, you know, session on BFM. Let's be real. Let's be real about this. You know, we do not want to go into areas that can cause unnecessary havoc to the country. But having said that, too much restriction will dampen the creativity of the people in the industry. So we are generally open to any creative ideas. And when we look at it, we will assess whether or not it is too extreme in causing the havoc, you know. So if it does, then we will shy away. We'll say that, look, you want to be somebody, you want to create art and all that, it must be harmonized with the society.
Sure. You know? What is your definition of havoc, really?
Well, if it causes, you know, if it touches racial sentiments, you know, it touches too much of political matters, then it defeats the purpose, because you know, you can touch a bit, but not too much, because then it becomes different. It is not an entertainment and culture anymore. It becomes agent of destruction. That's the right word.
Agent of destruction is very, very nice.
Yeah, well,
okay. But you do take that into consideration.
Yes, we do. But at the same time, we are open. I'll give you an example. For example, books publication, so we've got a lot of examples of independent book publication houses now who doesn't really publish the normal mainstream types of material, but instead more contemporary, more less conformist in terms of, you know, say Bahasa Malaysia or English or whatever. So it's more it's more in touch with reality, you know, Bahasa Pasar and things like that. So there are books like that. So we are okay with that, you know. So that's one element of not being too rigid and, you know, applying flexibility to the industry.
Okay, we're running out of time.
No,
I can
worries.
Keep you here for an whole hour and a half, but you know, it's been a pleasure having you on. So you've got two initiatives: Fashion Pitch 2 and Writers Unleashed.
Yep.
Writers Unleashed. The submission deadline is August 5th, 2014. Is there a website we can go on and find out more?
Right. For both, you can go to our website, www.mycreative.com.my. There are separate tabs, one for Fashion Pitch 2 and the other for Writers Unleashed. Have a look, go through the requirements, not too long, it's just about a page. And then, you know, you still have time. For Fashion Pitch, is until just before Raya. And for Writers Unleashed, is in the, I think, first week, 5th August, yeah. 5th August, yeah.
Okay. And just to get on to the website to find out about loan applications, is all...
It's all there. Even the loan application, there's a tab in our website where it explains the requirements, the criteria, and the documents that needs to be submitted. And there's a tab called Pitch Box. That's where you submit all of those items in there, and you submit... It's like the IRB submission, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like automatic. You submit, you put everything in there, everything stick, you submit, and our team will give you a call to come in to present to us your business case, where we can have Q&A and understand more about your company.
Your final advice?
My final advice is for the creative people, combine your effort, you know, with somebody who can help you on the business acumen area. You will have you. I'm sure everybody has got friends who are in finance, who are in marketing, who are lawyers and all that. So you can combine effort with them. You know, you can be the majority shareholder in the company, for example, say 70% or 80%, and the remaining goes to the other partner who's going to help you on business acumen. Or you can also hire people to be your accountant and whatnot. So that is a very important element, to combine the talent, creative and also the other one, the left brain and the right brain combined together.
Thank you very much for joining me today. That was Johan Ishak, CEO of My Creative Ventures, on giving the creative arts a leg up on the bigger picture. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.